Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Genesis 28. Genesis 28 is a prime example of how important it is to have a good overall knowledge of our Bible and how it fits together. There's a fairly obscure verse in John chapter 1 where the Lord makes reference to the event that we're going to look at tonight in the life of Jacob. And it just punctuates the necessity of having a reasonably sound understanding of how our Bible fits together. And in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we've said this many times, but I want it to be something that we remember just instantly, that the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we dealt with human history. We dealt with the history of man, the fall of man, the global flood in Genesis 6. And starting in chapter 12, we're introduced to Abraham. Of course, he's called Abram at first. And we are then introduced to Hebrew history. And God begins to specifically show Abraham from in the lineage of Abraham from chapter 12 on. The first 11 chapters covers a couple thousand years. And then after that, we're in just a few hundred years for the rest of the book. Because God, leading Moses to write the book of Genesis, has him give us an overview of human history. And then when it comes to beginning to teach us about Hebrew history and the calling of Abraham and how that through Abraham, children of God, the nation of God is going to be founded, he really slows down and begins to be far more thorough about what he's saying. And so we've looked at Abraham, his call, the promise of God. We looked at how that Abraham had a long number of years of learning how to trust God. And that after God came to him in Genesis 17 and revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, Abraham then, it's recorded in Romans 4, he staggered not. He'd seen God. You know, every time we see evidences of God working, it ought to just fortify our trust in God. Abraham saw God. Well, we took time to talk about the life and call of Abraham, the growth of Abraham. Then we went to Isaac. And one of the first notable times that we saw Isaac is Isaac is allowing himself to be offered on an altar. And Isaac willingly lays down. And of course, he's a picture of Christ. And Isaac shows himself as a definitely a man of faith. And then trusting the Lord for his father's servant, maybe Eliezer, to go and get him a bride. And just trusting the Lord and the Lord's leadership and the prayer of Eliezer. And then his son, Jacob, we'll look at more tonight and next week. As we take a glimpse at these men, we remember that they're just men. That Jacob was probably about 77 years old as he starts chapter 28, as the narrative starts chapter 28. Now, he lived to be 147, so he's in the middle of his life. It's probably equivalent to our 45, 50, right in there. And so he's a young fella, you know, even though he's 77 years old, and he's going to go looking for a wife tonight. And along the way, of course, remember, in Genesis 27, we see why he took off from home. Remember the story in Genesis 27, how that Sarah knowing, I'm sorry, Rebecca knowing that the younger shall serve the elder, God had given her that little tidbit of information. Still yet, she schemed around and helped Jacob secure his birthright from Esau and secure the blessing from away from Esau. And Esau is hot about this. The end of Genesis 27, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." I'm going to kill him. Jacob and his mom, Rebekah, they worked at deceiving Isaac so that the birthright, the blessing would be passed on to Jacob. Now that's the way that God had intended things to go. So there's a lot of questions in there. And what's noteworthy to me is that I never see Jacob rebuked for what he did. I see him paying some consequences for what he did. But interestingly enough, we'll see tonight how God reveals himself to Jacob. So, chapter 27, verse 41, Esau wants to murder his brother. And verse 43, "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise and flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." Well, that turns out to be decades, not a few days. "Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him." She acts like she didn't have any part of it. "Then will I send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" And so Rebekah tells Jacob to go. Let your brother's wrath cool off. As it turns out, it doesn't appear that when he leaves, Jacob leaves, it doesn't appear that he ever again saw his mother alive. And in chapter 28, then, we pick up the story. And he's going off to find a wife. Now he's getting a charge in verse 1. "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan." You know, go over there and get over to Haran. And find one of, start looking in the right bloodline, start looking in the right circles. So, the cover story is he's going to go off looking for a wife. The reality is he's running from his brother's anger. And he's 77 years old. He's in the middle of his life. He lived 147 years. And he probably left home with a lot of questions on his mind. He probably left home feeling pretty low and pretty dark. And he goes about 3 days' journey. And it seems like he's there all alone. And just he and literally the rocks that he has for pillows. And I imagine as he's walking along, he's feeling lonelier and lonelier and questioning more and more, did I do the right thing? Did I mess everything up? Must have been a very, very dark time. Well, pick up now in verse 10, chapter 28 and verse 10. And he went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, the folks that have studied that area and studied the events of this time, they figure he traveled about 3 days. He traveled along, got dark. He said, well, here, I'll stay here. Now, it appears to be very, very close to where Grandpa had set up some altars. And there's some conjecture that maybe he found one of Grandpa's altars and stayed there. I don't know. But it's in that general area where Abraham had set up some altars. And he stops that night, probably uncomfortable in every way. Probably some inner turmoil. Part of this picture is that he's in this inner turmoil and it's dark. And he's going to go to sleep. Now pick it up in verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. I want to stop right there, and we'll look at God's promise and the reiteration of the general promise again. But I want to notice the fact that Jacob was not looking for God. Jacob was probably in quite a time of turmoil. He was in darkness. It was at night. He was asleep. The Lord comes to him. And I really believe the Lord comes to him and begins to put a lot of the pieces together and answer a lot of the questions that are upon Jacob's mind. And the dream that he had is, again, verse 12, the ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. So now, there's a way to heaven, this ladder. And angels, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. So the Lord was at the top of this ladder. Now, that we'll go to look at John 1 a little bit, where the Lord makes reference to this passage as he's talking to, I believe it's Nathanael. And it would seem clear to me that the Lord is describing himself as this ladder. Now, this is such a very clear picture of salvation. Left up to ourselves, we're not seeking God. Now, I know that when God begins to draw, and when God begins to work upon a person's heart, when God begins to reveal to him his sinful condition, when God begins to reveal to him his need of Christ, yes, then we're looking for God. But left up to ourselves, we're going on our own way, not looking for God in any way. And God comes to where his children are and reveals himself to them and reveals to them the way to him. And that's through Christ. That's exactly what Paul found out on the road to Damascus. Paul, walking along, doing his own thing, he's not looking for God. He figured he's already serving God. And God comes to where he is. And Paul has the spiritual blindness ripped off his eyes, and he sees the Lord. And Jacob here, most believe that this is the point in which the Lord saved Jacob, the conversion took place. The regeneration that the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That probably took place at this point in Jacob's life. That regeneration where the spiritual scales fall off the eyes and Jacob dreams this dream, the Lord revealing himself to him, and that ladder that reaches to heaven, and the angels ascending and descending just remind us that the Lord uses all of his resources to accomplish his goal of saving his people. And he goes to where they are and he provides a way for them. And even when they're in turmoil and they're in darkness, and Jacob was asleep, a picture of death, even when we're spiritually dead, he comes to where we are and turns the lights on. And that's what I believe he did to Jacob this night. And he dreamed this dream. He set up this ladder. And God reveals to him himself. Now, jump up to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It's just another passage of Scripture that reminds us how awesome our God really is. He leaves nothing up to chance. You know, Jen and I talked about this, and Keith and I talked about it. Not one panel of that stuff that we found in the basement was left down there by chance. God worked and in the normal course of things, people bought that which they needed. Circumstances maybe changed and they no longer needed everything that they bought, so they truck it down to the basement. And the guy that we were talking to Monday said some of that stuff, I think he said some of that stuff's been down there 14, 15 years. Just waiting for Faith Missionary Baptist Church to build a building and need it, so that he could work it out, so that Jen knew somebody that said, here it is. The guy, when we were taking it Monday, said, I'm glad stuff's got a good home. I'm glad you get some good use out of it. We're going to throw it away. It's absolutely junk to us. God's amazing. He leaves nothing to chance. Nothing. What? The Bible says not a bird falls from the sky. That God doesn't know about it. And here in John chapter 1, begin our reading in verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know who I am? Jesus answered and said, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Now notice, this is not a question. He doesn't say, Rabbi, art thou the Son of God? No, he says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. This is nothing. And then he says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending, notice this, upon the Son of Man. What does he say there? Not angels and descending upon Jacob's ladder. Jacob saw a ladder in which angels were ascending and descending, and Jesus said, you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So Christ said, I'm the ladder. I'm the way. I'm the path to heaven. Angels ascending and descending, carrying out my bidding. I'm taking care of everything. You, Nathaniel, in the vernacular of today, you ain't seen nothing yet. Step back and watch. You think me knowing your name is something. Hang on. And to illustrate that to Nathaniel, he goes back to Genesis. The writings of Moses. That's why it's so important for us to seek and strive for a good general knowledge of our Bible as a whole. So that when we read something like that, we have an idea of what he's talking about. We can at least go back and reread the original event. Get a good cross-reference chain Bible that ties it together for you. And so Christ reveals himself as that way to Nathanael. Now, come back to Genesis 28. And God will reaffirm his promise. Very parallel language to what we've seen him give to Abraham and then to Isaac and now to Jacob. Verse 13 of Genesis 28. And behold, the Lord stood above it, that ladder, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. Now keep that phrase in mind, because it's going to be important to something that Jacob says in a little bit. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this place. For I will not. Now God says, I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob, I am God. And I believe that if he hadn't already been saved, and he's surely saved here through this experience, he's a regenerate man, his eyes of faith have been opened, and he said, I'm God. The angels of heaven are doing my bidding. Nothing is left up to chance. I have promised this to Abraham. I've promised it to Isaac. I'm promising it to you. And not only that, Jacob, guess what? I'll never leave you alone. I will always be there with you. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, verse 16, and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He's running for his life, folks. He's got more questions than a computer can answer. And God comes to where he is and settles it all down. He said, I didn't know the Lord was in 1,000 miles of this place, and I'm in the place of I'm in the Lord's place here. The Lord's in this place. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rightly stood in awe of this place. Maybe Jacob remembers some old language that Grandpa. I about quoted a quote of Moses. That's not Grandpa, but Jacob realizes the awe of God and that God is in this place. Now that'll calm your fears. God comes to you and says, look, this is what I'm going to do with you, and I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never leave you alone. I'm going to be right there with you. Verse 18, Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow. Now, when we read this, what Jacob vowed, remember one thing. What he says seems to be contingent on something. He says, if. But notice he says, if God be with me. And now he's at the point where he has no doubt of that. He's just heard from God. So Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Notice that was on his mind, that he comes back to his father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Jacob wasn't vowing a vow that was contingent on whether or not he felt like trusting the Lord. The vow that he makes is based on the promise of God, and he's heard from God. And there's no doubt about that promise. So, all right, then. If you're going to be with me, I'll serve you. No problem. I'll go in any direction you want me to go. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Not the first time that a tithe is spoken of in the Word of God, but one of the first times. Grandpa Abraham did some tithing back, I believe, in chapter 15. And sets for us the principle that whatever God's prospering us, the very first 10% goes right back to him. And that's the way he set it up. And you haven't really given an offering until you've given that first 10%. That's the tithe. And then the offering is above that. So he said, look, you've promised you're going to be with me. And so based on that, I'll go anywhere you tell me to go. And I'll do it. So Jacob then, in chapter 29, has some whole new experiences that, Lord willing, we'll look at next week. He meets Rachel. Seems to be love at first sight. And you know the story probably after that. He doesn't get to marry Rachel for a long, long time. But all of this in time. Tonight, what a picture we have of the salvation of God. How that he comes to where his people are. Not random chance, but right there's Jacob. He's mine. I'm going to get him. And the great, great sharp shooter of heaven never misses his mark. There's Jacob, boys. Let's get him. And that night, he was apprehended of the Lord. From that time on, we see there's a lot of growing that old Jacob has to do. He's 77 now. He's going to be on this earth quite a while yet. He's going to have a lot of experiences yet, and we'll look at some of the highlights of that. But at the end of Jacob's life, you even more and more see him as a man of faith. May the Lord help us to really begin. May the Lord reveal to us who he is. Who he is in power. Not some idea that we have in our minds, but who he really is, how he operates. It'll clear up so much of our Bible doctrine when he begins to teach us that and show us that. And it'll bring stability to the people of God when we see who he is, how he operates. I mean, when you know that he's like he's told Jacob, I'll never leave you. I'll always be with you. Well, that takes a whole lot of the burden off the individual, and they lean on Jehovah. God help us to live our lives leaning on Jehovah. Let's pray. Go into our prayer groups. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Bible, for your word. Now for this illustration tonight of you providing a way to heaven, and that through Christ. How that you come to where we are and provide that need for us even before we even understand what the need is. We thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that we become your children by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we walk with you, Lord, I pray that our faith would grow as we experience your amazing providence, just like we have this week. I pray that it will cause our faith to grow, that we'll lean upon you more heavily, seek to follow you more closely, that it might be to your honor and glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.